Empty theater, present.
Anniversary?
Yes.
Just about 1 year ago, and he came off this same old plane to be maid of honor at my friend Carrie's wedding. Only to find out the terrible news.
What news is that, man?
They had a son of a husband to be had run out on the road.
You have no need to go on, Miss Carlisle. I know what you're talking about. Even though Mrs. Conway married to be in with Mr. Carstairs. Most of the old hands still call it the Conway Square.
My dear Bethany, how nice to see you again.
Oh, Mr. Preston. Thank you. I hope it was all right to come.
Yeah, of course. We're in your single daughter. We got left. You're always welcome, dear.
That's my question.
Please, you can put the horse and rig away and report to Punch Williams. I'm sure you can find your something to do.
I reckon.
Mr. Whitman?
My dear man, and my pleasure.
That's a nice young man.
Who?
Yeah.
He's close mouth about himself and everything to my fancy.
I think it was kind of sad.
He was a good worker, I'll say that. And hasn't been so easy to come by with a ward. Well, I'll be opening the door for you. Well, in you go. What is it?
What she does know is that she will not be able to relax for many questions I answer. I should have come shortly for that too.
Stayed away from Mrs. Carstairs in the stable here.
father stable.
I wasn't here when it happened, but I suppose because this is where Miss Trade, well, you know, I should think it would be the last place you'd want to see him.
But I was going to ask you if you could travel me up a hill to just run up to the top, so I could ride into town and mail my letter.
Oh, I don't know about that. There's only one horse left in here, and Punch Williams, the ranch boss, took all the hands in the Bermuda out this morning to graze up in the Northwest Fork. There's just this one mare left.
What? There's just one mare. That's it, man. Did she take her in?
Oh, no, ma'am. The way I heard it, this poor little black mare got sold some time back, and whoever the horse thief was, he hitched her to a split rail fence somewhere and left her to starve or die first. And she got so frantic, she broke the string right out of the post. And when they found her lying exhausted in the willow, she came to drag that heavy log, and Lord knows how many miles till the strength of that. Buck Henry, the oldest of the hands, told me about it. Ever since that day, you try to hitch her to anything, and she goes just plumb loco. Other times, she's as nice a little filly as you'd ever want to see.
Does he sustain if he just let the reins tie?
I reckon.
Then I'll just change him from green. You could saddle her up and I'll ride her in the car.
I don't think Mr. Carstairs would want that.
Well, I do.
But would you come inside the stable with me for a moment?
I don't want to go in there.
Why? Did you see her hand?
Yes. I did. Just before the proper time. Oh, I could see that damn such a thing.
I was hoping you might know the real reason.
What do you mean, the real reason?
It's mighty hard to believe a girl could hang herself just because a man ran out on her, if he did.
Well, he did, all
right. Where is he now, this man?
I don't know. I don't reckon he'd dare show his face anywhere in the street. I need the car so I could be out looking for him. What are you doing?
Opening the stable door.
What for?
Just where was she hanging? Could you point it out?
That
big thing, Lord, I just can't believe it. Plain and simple, Miss Brown. You toss a load over the beam, tie off the hitch and rail so it hangs with a noose some 8 feet off the ground, climb on a horse, get under it, put the noose over your neck, and kick the spurs home. And you're left hanging.
Down this
lane
like a
death
like that. It's so hard.
Well, chances are on the first drop you break your neck. And you don't know anything after that. Well, ma'am, the how is not the question. It's the why. Just like you said. And I get the feeling you know more than you want to say about that.
Who are you?
Let me ask you a question, please. What brought you back here a year after it all took place? What are you looking for? Maybe none. You say the answer?
I mean, it's none of your business.
Suppose I could convince you it might be.
What's
that? Well, it's coming. It's Mr. Carstairs.
Well, sometimes I see
him. I reckon you forgot something.
Anything wrong, Mr. Carstairs?
No. Just something slipped my mind. Oh, Becky, didn't you say something about a letter you wanted to get in the mail?
Yes, I did, but I hope you didn't come all the way back here for that.
Yeah, weekend coming up, suddenly crossed my mind it would be important. I should take it in.
Did I change my mind and come in with you?
Well, so is there anything you say, to tell you the truth, it's just what I hoped it'd be. It crossed my mind after I left. This is no place to leave you alone. You going to believe this scene, Becky?
Why did you say that, Mr. Carstairs?
Well, letter to your father. I thought it might be to arrange to have him meet you. There's no place for a young girl anymore, I'm afraid.
And how did you believe that again? Of course, if you want me to.
Oh, I'd be the last person to chase you out. But with Julie's fears and the memories, we don't blame you if you include in your letter the news that you're coming home. I was a train day after tomorrow.
This is a general throat, mainly letter right here. Why don't you
give it to me, Becky, and I'll take it over.
Yeah, I can do it myself.
Oh, that's no trouble. Won't take a minute. Unless you don't trust me to call the mayor.
Well,
then
don't do it that way. But if I gave it to him, he'd fall from the back door and went into the store. I just got home. I'm mad at myself. Couldn't get me. So Mama almost followed him in. But I was too late. So at the moment of decision, he was already with him.
Oh, that's that. Now we can go visit that mistress.
You really think we can help her?
I don't know what that means.
I'm afraid to say it means anything. It was honestly just a question.
Then I'm going to be just as honest in return, Becky. No, I don't think you can. I don't think anyone can.
Then why are you dating me?
What other choice do I have? I couldn't save my daughter. I'd like to save my wife.
Dad, can you do it, Mr. Castle? Can you do it?
Look,
I suppose I'm back here. I just can't understand.
But she found the world well lost alone.
No, she was wrong, my darling. She knew the man would have come along. Tell the truth, I'm never going to rest till I can understand all.
Well, you're very young, Becky. So many things you don't know or even imagine. It will help you. I'll tell you the one secret. Why Carrie killed herself. It wasn't just because her promised husband walked out on her.
Then tell me,
why? He was carrying a child who would have no name.
Very
good. If he wasn't the father, who else could she claim? But how could she face bringing a fatherless child into the world?
Came back and asked the family to look scared at Mother Wolf, who couldn't leave them with the living. What is government? What is it all about? And if Clyde didn't put a rope around her neck, how else did she do it? How else did she do it? Why am I so scared?
Becky, I don't know what they wrote in the letter to your dad, but I didn't know it. Here it is, unopened. I just felt there was no point in knowing it. Well, I feel now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I figured we'd be taking a train tomorrow morning, or might even get there before the mail is near.
You want me to leave?
Well, it would be best for everyone.
I didn't see the question that evening. I was doing the preparation for leaving. Wanted by some inner voice that I didn't. It seemed to have been left undone. I didn't get a chance to talk to the doctor after he came to the castle. And when Pig Whitney came to get my bag, he was escorted by that bad Mrs. Amy. So we had little to say to each other. The night of each day, the two of us were tired of seeing Mrs. Castle. But the truth is that after dinner with Mr. Castle, the gun seemed to get in my head, and I barely made it up to bed before I was in a profound sleep. Deep, but deep. Because it seemed to me that in my sleep, I was talking to Carrie. Here. Let me help you. Oh, thank you. Now, stop work. Well, you're feeling better now. Well, I'm trying to revive you. You've been dead. Well, if you're keep walking, breathe deep. You can actually pass your medicine for her back pain. Well, how could I do that? So you could be killed more easy. Well, what about it? Well, how could anyone want to kill me? I don't even care with God. And my brother. My brother? Yes, ma'am. Both are the same. You see, Patterson is my real family name.
Of course it does.
It all goes back to what is the most unattractive of human things. Greed. Ted Custer is a foreman of the farm. And he wanted to own the suitcase of food so bad he'd stop at nothing. He tried to romance old man Conway's wife and wouldn't have gone nowhere except fate gave him a lucky break. Mr. Conway died of a heart attack. So he roamed around and finally up and married the widow, only to get a real shock.
What sort of a shock?
I found out the spread wasn't left for the widow, but for Carrie, the daughter. He tried romancing her, but she didn't want any part of him. She had her own man, my brother, Bo, but Fred Custer is a man set on getting his own way, so he didn't stop at romancing. It wasn't my brother's child she was doing.
So that Fred Bo walked out on her. And why did
Bo didn't walk out on her, Becky. He loved her too much. I figured Carol had some hired guns to take care of my brother, and leave him in the desert while his bones took pain. Carol didn't harm herself. She was fine. At the point of the gun, he had the rope all tied to the spike on the hitching post and made her climb on the horse, dropped the noose over her neck, and kicked the horse out from under her. I reckon, poor lady, she didn't care all that much about living anyway. But she didn't take her own life. It was
tough. How do you know all that?
I don't. I'm only guessing. How are you feeling now?
I don't think I'll ever want to sleep again.
Oh, good.
Good?
Yeah. Because I got to get you out of here while there's still time for you to get away.
Well, I'm leaving tomorrow morning.
That may be too late.
Too late? For what?
To save your own life.
Why is my life for you in danger?
Because this evening, while you were asleep, dead, Doc Medrick and I witnessed the thrill by Mrs. Crossroads, leaving the free cake of food to you. Well, she'd ask you to take it home with you and for your father to be recorded.
But why do you want to make it?
To anyone rather than the man who murdered to make it his own. And you were her daughter's best friend.
But what doesn't it make? A will to be changed at any time, isn't it?
As long as the person who makes it is still alive. Lucky Mrs. Custer has died less than an hour after the will was made. A few more pills than you were said. Mrs. Ames took care of that. She's had real life.
It's true.
Now, you come on with me. We're going down to the stable and get you some transport to get you out of here with a whole skin. I'm fatter and better than poor old local little man. And the horse we have to get you into town so you can pick up a midnight
flight. That's a good idea.
No, ma'am. I'm staying to even up some old stores.
Well, but the case
is possible. That's exactly what I aim to do.
I understand. Because if I could have told you, what good would it do?
It would save your life, for one thing.
Is it too important to you? Or is it what you're doing for what you think might have happened?
I guess that's a question I'd better let you answer.
Maybe I can answer that for the booty. Don't move, Sid. Except real slow, loosen your gun belt and let it drop while I light this lamp. Do it or I'll put a bullet in it.
You can't get away with any more murders, Sid.
My territory here where I live, I can get away with everything.
Well, let me have the word.
No.
But what does it matter?
Once we do, we're both dead.
If I kill you both first, I can just take it.
Except that killing us both might not be as easy to explain as all the others. Kay, my brother, your wife.
I'll find a way.
I'm not so sure. You're losing your touch, you know, Chad. You finally had to poison Mrs. Carstairs because you missed the first time.
What does that mean?
Oh, don't try to spook me, Chad. You took her out on this poor little mare here. You knew it was local, didn't you?
Oh, that's enough talking up.
And then you stopped somewhere. And before she had a chance to dismount, you jerked at the reins against the bit in her mouth as if to... I am.
And Mr. Carstairs?
Poor little man. She didn't mean it. But she saved our lives. She trampled him to death. And it's sort of poetic justice that he spent his life doing to women. And at the end, this particular one turned the table. In one quick move, Tube's father son had slipped the halter rope over the fishing rail, and immediately the mare had reacted by going to kick. Chad, caught off balance, was unable to protect himself against her failing hooves. The special death he had planned long ago for his wife, unsuccessfully, was successful by accident, and became his own. True poetic justice. That ideal justice is poets exercise by making the good happy and the evil unsuccessful. Now, this one is certainly. The Three Circle Key has changed its sound, but the lamp is more successful than ever. It's now the T bar R, framed in a sort of circle that looks a lot more like a heart. And it's run by Keith and Becky Fatherson. Their first child is on the way. The fourth of them feel in a sense it is their second. The first is a little black mare that Keith has spent a long time venting, and he no longer fears being hit. Maybe she takes an example from Keith and his guide, Becky. Our cast included Marion Felders, Bob Caliban, Ann Petoniak, Martha Greenhouse, and Bill Griffith. The entire production is under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capture. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next